Wild, everybody. I'm your host, Matt, and this month we are joined by two returning guests for a returning topic, for a revisit. With me is returning guest Sky. Sky, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's been a hot minute since we've had you on.
Yeah, life happens to the best of us, and then, you know, you're old and you have to do stuff. Otherwise, they don't pay you. So,
being an adult is the actual worst.
It's the worst thing that can happen to you, and it'll happen to everyone. Starting off on a very bright, positive note, Aria.
We're going to get there. And our second guest is returning heavyweight champion of the Fifth Draw Wild Arena, Jake Mason.
There it is.
2 minutes in, and I'm facepalming.
Good. Hey, everybody. Welcome.
Good.
You back.
Good.
The champ is here.
Good.
Man, this intro is just a roller coaster of emotions for everyone.
What I love is that, like, I have the context of knowing that, Sky, you just woke up from a nap and are kind of in outer space, but everyone else is like, man, Sky is just, like, on that ennui tip right now, I guess.
The adult mood is a powerful one.
It's a bad time. Just to piggyback on that, being an adult is a scam, and if you can avoid it, I would.
There's a good reason why I did college for like a decade after I graduated high school.
I was going to say either stay in college forever or don't go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are the only ways to get out of this world alive.
That Van Wilder trick is hard.
If you happen to be like a trust fund kid or whatever and feel like sharing the wealth a little bit, you know, maybe hit us up.
There's three good podcasters here who would love to do this full time and not have to worry about bills.
Oh, that is right. Daddy.
Anyway, before we turn this into just like a three white dudes complaining about nothing podcast, we could maybe go on to the show.
Yeah, there are plenty of those out there. You can go find them if you want that. And us. Yeah. Today, we are covering a topic we did way back in the annals of Fifth Draw history. Our first accidental two-parter.
Yep.
We're revisiting the Power Rangers knockoffs.
Oh, man. We were so young back then.
So young, so full of hope and life.
So optimistic. So bad at editing. If you saw this tweet earlier today, I went back and listened to those two episodes, and the whole time I was like, Matt, you are the worst.
Oh, literally, you would have to pay me $750 per episode to listen to anything before episode like 250 of the Morphin Grid.
I didn't know how to noise cancel, and I didn't know how to cut like heavy breathing. In those, and apparently I was just like right up on the mic the whole time, and it was real bad.
That smooth jazz, that late night DJ voice.
It's not great. I'm better at it now. Thank the
gotta
Lord.
Gotta ease the audience into what the topic is. You gotta get all up on that mic and gotta get what's all going on.
These are the podcast secrets. We're talking
discovered through trial and error.
Oh my God, we're never starting the show.
We've made a terrible mistake.
I'm almost awake, I promise. It's cool.
So we're talking about Mystic Knights of Tir-na-n-Og, Big Bad Beetleborgs, VR Troopers, something with a dumb alliterative name involving Samurai and Cybers.
Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad.
Come on.
That's the one.
That was the best one.
The one that we're probably all dreading a little bit, Mask Rider.
Oh, no, I'm very excited about Mask Rider.
But we're not talking about him. We did that for two episodes earlier. I doubt our opinions have changed much.
Just to get a little reacquainted, I did watch an episode of Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad and Masked Rider and Mystic Knights of Tir-na-n-Og, and yeah, they still suck. So
okay.
just in case you guys were wondering,
unfair to Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad. That's clearly the best of the bunch.
You're not wrong, but the episode I watched involved the main character. I think his name is Sam? Question mark.
Yeah.
The bad kid hacked. He used a virus that hacked the U.S. economy.
Sure.
And Sam's dad asked Sam to help him pay for surgery for his sister, which seems like a lot to put on a kid high school.
What? That's wild.
So it's not great, but it's not terrible.
I mean,
we
did describe that as Saved by the Bell meets Power Rangers with heavy leanings on the Saved by the Bell side. So that feels right.
It's very Boy Meets World. It's Boy Meets World. It's got a Lawrence brother in it. It stars a Lawrence brother, so you're halfway there.
Yeah, I mean, they were just a Disney connection away. So instead of talking about them more than we already have, we're going to improve them, fix them, make them better.
Oh, how could we even? How could you even do that with some of these?
They're so perfect. And also, did you just sucker us into hard reboot? I just realized, is this an accidental crossover?
In the dying embers of what Fifth Draw Wild is now, sometimes you got to cross over flavors a little bit just to keep the creative juices flowing.
It's weird. It's a weird way to tell Alan that he's out.
Jake just got really, really tired of that stinger that's going to be a shirt someday. And
he's gone. Sorry, Alan. No, not doing that to my buddy. No, of course not.
So we're starting over. We might not cover all five of those. That's totally fine if we want to leave some of those in the dust.
There's at least some that we just need to burn to the ground and start over.
I mean, almost all of them, really. Jake, you had a question about what we were doing.
Yes. Okay. So we are effectively doing we are improving and fixing these five Power Ranger knockoffs.
Yes.
Are we doing it in the context of if we did this today, or are we doing this as in we are time traveling back to the 90s where we are put in charge of these shows?
I think whichever's funniest, because I definitely want to do like Beetleborgs today.
Okay. Well, Beetleborgs, I wouldn't change a thing. It's perfect just the way it is.
Oh, yeah. If anything, we need more knockoff Universal Monsters.
Yeah.
Whatever's left.
The only thing I want is for Jo to not have been kicked off the show because she joined a union.
Yeah. Is that fucking Casper Meets Wendy? It ruined her Beetleborgs life.
The show just went downhill when we lost that, like, the willingness of Jo to take a baseball bat to those idiot kids' heads.
Yeah, new Jo was fine, but she wasn't old Jo.
Yeah. Old Jo knew how to take care of business.
Yeah.
They needed that.
My preferred take on Beetleborgs is Jo comes back years later to that house.
Oh, and because she's the one who knows the trick of summoning Flubber. Flubber? Flabber?
Flabber.
Flubber? Flabber.
She's gone to college and figured out how to, like, tap into their version of the Morphin Grid, and it's just like, I don't need your help, Ghost Man. I'll keep the other monsters, but you can just stay in that piano forever.
I mean, I hope she could have gone to college three times by the time that now rolls around. That was, what, 97 that debuted?
Yeah, she followed the Tommy Oliver path.
Yeah, okay, cool.
She's a doctor of ghostology now.
Yeah, she's a ghostiantologist.
Yep.
A cryptozoologist. There we go.
Yes, there we go. And a parapsychologist.
Yeah.
And just like Tommy, she's somehow making enough in that very extremely non-scientific field to own a house.
Reality show. She has a reality show about monsters. She found this haunted house. Count Fangula? Was that the vampire guy?
I only remember him as the one episode where he dressed up like a football player and named himself Biff. That's all I remember. Biff Biffington of the Biff Town Biffs. I've been thinking about that every single day of my life since I watched that episode in 1997.
And we had, Frankie?
It's Frankie, Wolfgang.
I want to say it's Frankenfurter, but that was probably Rocky Horror, right?
Yeah, it wasn't. It was... it was something stupid. It wasn't Frankenfurter. It was might have just been Frankie, but then there was
a mummy.
The mummy was Mums.
Yeah.
Right.
And then eventually there was like a ghoul. I don't remember her name. What was Frankie's name? Frankenburger? Frankenbottom?
I was going to look it up, but it's not really worth it. No. Because... I would say we just need to get rid of all of that completely if we wanted to redo Beetleborgs.
Just age it up a little bit?
Yeah, because, like, I get wanting to appeal to a young audience, but it really dumbs down the show. Yeah, you don't need to dumb it down that far. Like, a kid can understand basic plot, and you don't need, like, flashing lights and monsters running around. That's what the Beetleborgs are supposed to be fighting, not hanging out with.
True.
I didn't mind the hook of there being like, here's a ghost house full of, you know, I guess Elvis, Jay Leno, and all of his Universal Monster friends.
Right.
Including the Invisible Man. You just never saw him. Yeah. He was there, but they didn't have the budget to actually hire a voice actor. And without that, you just never know he's there.
In one episode, a character trips. Totally him.
That was him.
I'm sure that happened. I know there were demons under the stairs on the porch also.
Yep. And there's also the organ had like three ghosts in them.
Yeah, the backup pipettes. Dancers.
Pipettes. Yep.
All right. I'm looking up the characters because this Frankenstein's name is going to drive me crazy if I don't. Frankenbeans.
Frankenbeans. That's so much worse than Frankenfurter.
It's absolutely the worst.
Yeah. So we definitely just keep like the core Beetleborg like show suits and everything from whatever the Sentai was.
They are so rad.
I have no problem with those suits. They're great. And Metal Hero shows have some great heroes and monsters and stuff. Like there's some good bones there. It's just all the crap they piled on top of it.
So
yeah.
There we go. I would start fresh today, get Joe back, and she raises up a new team. Job done.
I like it.
Yeah.
Would you start with the colors or the metallics?
You got to start with the colors. You got to work your way up to metallics.
Yeah, that's the power up.
Metallics ruled. What I would do is, because the whole, like, I guess, conceit of the show is that they got their powers from a comic book wish. Like, there's not, like, you know, the beetle grid or whatever floating around giving them Beetleborg powers. But, like, they got their powers from the Art Fortunes comics, Beetleborgs. Because Roland Voss will probably still be there. He can run the comic shop now. Drew can fuck right off.
Yep.
He's gone. Drew's out. I know it's Joe's brother. Get him out of here. He can call in one episode and that's it.
Yeah.
So, like, there would have to be something where she would be like, we need Beetleborgs again. Like, there's someone else. There's another ghost out there with wish powers that gave some shitty people
I mean, it's the grown-up. It's the grown-up shitty kids that were in the original show.
The horrible rich kids?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God, I hated them so much. If you want to make... Hey, I know Bulk and Skull are, like, pretty bad in the early days of Power Rangers. They're, like, bullies and they try to, like, assault women a lot. But, like... I don't think they were ever as viscerally, like,
unlikable,
infuriating as those two rich kids were immediately.
They definitely both had, like, a stack of Sega Genesis in their parlor.
Oh, yeah. In their second parlor. Yeah. The fucking rich kid. 1% billionaire assholes.
Let's get those two kids back on, or those two characters, and... I don't know. They're real estate tycoons. That seems appropriate.
Yeah. Oh, and they want to buy Hillhurst Manor. There you go. Because they're trying to do a flip or flop. They want to flip Hillhurst Manor, but you can't because there's ghosts and mummies and Biff Biffington from the Bifftown Biffs in there.
Do they go find the old comic book and that's how they get the monsters to try to?
Yeah, and I think you can use the same monsters again. And then Joe's like, "All right, last time we fought this one, here was the deal." It's like, "Oh, it's a little different this time." Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Why can't you get adults to do it? Well, because it doesn't work with adults. The magic is weird.
It's
I don't know.
Peter Pan stuff.
Yeah, they don't believe in comic books
comic
anymore.
Comic books are just for kids. Yeah right?
So, like, what if they have, like, competing reality shows and, like, Joe is doing the monster show and then the rich kids are doing, like, a flip or flop and they both are fighting over Hillhurst Mansion?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I like that.
Because she's going back to her roots to do, like, this is where I first encountered the supernatural.
Yeah, I like that.
Well, there we go.
I think that's it. I think that's all we need to...
We fixed Beetleborgs.
Yeah. Do we want to do titles for their show?
I mean...
Their show within the show.
Okay, so... It's two rich kids who... They're mostly just doing this for fun because they don't know how to, like... Work.
Well, they're like the rich, like, bad taste millennials, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they'd be
hipster.
They'd be a little bit older than us because I was around Joe's age when the show was on. So,
to be my age is what you're saying, you monster.
Yeah.
So they
well, both of your ages, you old men. Hey, I'll be 29 by the time this comes out. Yeah. So
Monday.
I got two more days. I got two more days before I'm 29 then. Ko-Fi.com/Jake Mason if you want to give me a birthday present.
It's got to be something dumb, like just like West Coast Flippers or something.
It's got to be like maybe their whole thing is they find haunted houses and flip them, right?
Okay.
So it'd be like haunted mansions. That's very dumb. Disney's Disney. Haunted mansions.
Maybe that's what it is. It's Disney's haunted mansions.
I don't think Disney would do a reality show about flipping houses, though. And also, Bondi owns. Does Bondi owns Beetleborgs? Hey, or not Bondi?
Hasbro.
Hasbro. Hey, Hasbro. I have some ideas for Beetleborgs if you want to get at us.
Also, if you don't want it anymore and you're willing to part with it for a reasonable sum for three podcasters.
Yeah, I've got 50 bucks. That's all it's worth, right?
It can't be worth a ton more than that.
No, not anymore.
Sounds like we're in for $100.
Starter for it.
Yeah. Look, if I'm getting anything, I'm getting WMAC Masters, and I don't know. I'm still trying to hunt the rights down to that. I think Four Licensing has it, but they are not emailing me back. So
I'm in on that one too.
I mean, yeah, I've got my eye out for Ocean Girl if that ever stops trying to do a reboot within their own company. So
whatever. Well, good luck. So theirs would be haunted or like ghost flop, ghost flipper, something like that. Something dumb, something very dumb.
Flip a ghost flop.
That's, I don't even know if that's anything.
I mean, flop house. Flip a ghost flop house.
Flop house. Flip house.
Flip house isn't bad.
The flip. Welcome to the flip house. Or
oh,
like,
that sounds like something some hipsters would say.
Right?
Yep, I'm a little annoyed at hearing it, so I think that's perfect.
Yeah. So theirs is the flip house. What's hers?
I was thinking like Haunted House Hunter.
Haunted House Hunters is very good.
That pretty much nails it.
That one I had in my head, but the rich kids, I just choose to seal them off in my brain, so it's hard to think in their ways.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. Yeah, you don't want to get too deep in that paint. The abyss also stares back.
Yeah,
at that
a little
one.
Bit. Okay, I think we've nailed Beetleborgs. Just do the same thing, but with older kids and with Joe as the mentor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boom.
Make
done.
Her the fourth nice. Borg if
teams.
It shows up.
Oh man.
Oh, that fourth Borg was so good.
The White Blaster Beetleborg.
There you go. Problem solved.
Be pretty rad. Neato.
All right. Which one do we want to tackle next, my dudes?
I mean,
I got some ideas for Mystic Knights.
Okay, let's do Mystic Knights then. I was gonna say Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad, but I don't actually have anything yet. So if you've got something for Mystic Knights, let's do that.
One of two shows made out of whole cloth on this thing.
Yeah. So, like, Mystic Knights actually looks like it had a budget to work with. I don't know if we're trying to be budget conscious. I don't know why we would be, but like
magical Christmas land.
It was a very ambitious show. Like, they actually had sets and like CG and extras and stuff, whereas the rest of these shows had like six kids
and like a juice bar they kept going. They had like three places they kept going to and a quarry,
right.
And it was always the same quarry.
You shot it from different angles. Sometimes it looked like different quarries, but
everybody
you know,
knows that quarries are basically Hellmouths, so that's where the monsters go, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
But like, I don't know if either of you recall the King Arthur and the Knights of Justice cartoon.
Minorly.
Yeah, what? You don't remember King Arthur and the Knights of Justice? Well, my friend, a football team, high school maybe?
No.
Accidentally went back in time and replaced King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table and fought some magic wizards or something.
That sounds about right.
But I was thinking something more along those lines, because while it's very ambitious to have a live-action show with all these people and CG and stuff, it looked and sounded terrible. Like,
did you find... Okay, so you watched another episode of it. Did you just find the same episode?
Oh, no, it was it was episode two. And, like, so they then met the quote-unquote little people, and there was a CGI dragon and then a CGI monster that they fought, and it was very 1997.
Yeah, Pyre the Dragon of Dare, I believe.
That sounds right. But, like, you know, they get their weapons and the magic shoots out of them, and it everything about it didn't look good. I'm sure as a kid it looked fine, but, like, if we go whole cloth cartoon, then the choreography of the sword fighting doesn't have to be safe Like, because right. Sword guy, I forget his name. What is the guy with the fire sword?
Rohan.
I don't remember Rowan? Any of these chumps.
No, Rowan was Angus? The girl, wasn't she?
No, that's Deirdre.
You're right. Okay.
And then Angus was the rock.
Right. And then
boy. Lafar? And then Ivar.
Ivar. You're right.
Ivar
was the trident fella.
And I'm pretty sure the main guy was Rohan or Rowan. I don't remember. Hold on.
But anyway, I was watching the episode, and their choreography for the sword fighting was laughable because they would swing and be a solid 2 to 3 seconds before anybody reacted to it because it missed so wildly. So I just feel like if we do some solid choreography in a cartoon, it would look much better. You don't have to worry about people getting stabbed on set. It's just everything can be solved with the animation.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. We aren't beholden to a show that already exists to get footage from, so we might as well. I feel like this would probably end up being a CGI show and hopefully not a bad one.
Well, I always compare the 2012 Ninja Turtle series because that's the height of animation and CG for me.
That's the Nickelodeon reboot. Yeah.
It was so good.
That they ended so they could make a new Ninja Turtles.
Well, yeah. I have mixed feelings about, but we don't need to get into that.
That's fair. I probably have similar feelings about what they did to Mystery Inc., Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated, was amazing. And then they're like, what if we'd stopped it and started doing different Scooby-Doo that looked terrible instead? And then they did that.
That's what they did to Sensational or Spectacular Spider-Man. They stopped it and started doing Ultimate.
Oh, Snack Dracula was so good.
It was the best Spider-Man cartoon they've ever done.
I loved Ultimate Spider-Man too. Like, don't get me wrong. It was a very good Spider-Man.
They gave him
but,
a motorcycle.
But Snack Dracula was so good.
You know how Spider-Man's famous for his fucking motorcycle? Yeah.
I mean, look, he had the spider buggy.
If he's going to get anything, he should get Leopard on. Give me that Tokusatsu Spider-Man giant robot again.
I think Toei might own Leopardon. I think if they kept anything from the Spider-Man mythos at large, it's Leopardon.
Oh, also the fact that he's Hell's Emissary.
Yes,
he is.
From Planet Spider
Superman
with a Y.
So buck wild.
God, I want Shout Factory to give us those DVDs.
Right. Well, they're putting Jetman out, so, like, who knows? They're going backwards now, so.
I feel like Super Sentai Bros might be 100% solely responsible for that decision.
In no small part, I would guess.
Okay, so I like that for Mystic Knights. I can dig a complete reboot, just start over, do it CG, do it good.
Yeah, and I like the idea of doing it, like, 2012 Ninja Turtles, that kind of stylized, but not like, crazy stylized, like not like everyone's a like a big weird shape and like you know it or everyone's boring like cookie cutter cardboard cutouts of people, like that would be
like,
very good.
I love Justice League and Justice League Unlimited, but every dude and every woman has the same exact physique.
Yeah,
and
there
that's
are
fine,
exactly two shapes.
But like, we don't need that if you're doing a cartoon.
Well, I mean, at least the guys had two shapes. There was
the Superman.
Big chest or no big chest.
Yeah.
It was, you were either Superman or Batman or The Flash, and that was it. Those were the only two in between.
So, again, I guess Hasbro owns this property now, too.
I guess technically.
Because this was a Saban made from whole cloth property.
This is just the weirdest pitch session
to Hasbro.
Appeal to Hasbro that we could possibly have done.
You know, if they actually somehow hear this and, guys, I'm looking for a job, y'all could totally hire me for not what I'm worth.
Hey.
I promise.
I'm also looking for a job too.
I'm cheap. It's fine.
If you're just handing out jobs, I work in retail. I don't make a ton of money. I am affordable. Yeah. Hasbro,
totally willing to move too.
Retail is the worst. So, you know,
yeah,
it won't take a lot, man.
All right. Yeah. What are we doing next? VR Samurai, Masked Rider.
Let's save Masked Rider for the denouement.
I'm fine with that.
Of this episode.
It probably needs the most attention.
So let's do Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad, good one.
I mean,
I do like that one a lot.
I feel like if we're gonna do anything, we have to lean hard into the whole alien angle of this.
It was there an alien
the,
well, angle?
The one
it
dude.
Had, Amp? Gigabyte? No.
Gigabyte?
No. That was KiloCon. KiloCon.
Well, KiloCon was the American government guy. Like, he was a U.S. government, like, virus thing.
Right.
And then whatever Sam got was nebulously...
Oh, right!
And that fourth ranger
their
dude...
Guy. Yeah.
That left eventually turned out to be an alien who had put that on Sam's computer somehow.
Oh, jeepers, you're right.
We gotta turn hard into that.
Yeah. Fuzzy, or whatever his name was an alien. What was his name?
What a weird thing.
Hey, did y'all know that Mystic Knights of Tirna Nob's second season budget was given to Power Rangers Lost Galaxy?
Imagine
that.
And I
feel like VR Troopers' second season budget was given to Mystic Knights of Tirna Nob season one. what was this? The second season of Mystic Knights had like a dumb subtitle, like Battle Thunder something like that.
And they had a fifth knight with an axe.
Yeah. He had two axes, and he was Forest Ranger.
I believe Forest before Forest me, Knight. I think his call sign was.
That was his call sign. Okay, so aliens. Back to Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad. I'm on board with aliens. I do think it should be, the exact same premise, just now knowing what computers can do.
Because Gridman is excellent. Like, all of that stock footage is so good. Like, the servo costume is perfect.
Is there a new, Gridman? Is there,
It was an Ultraman one-off or something? I don't know.
It was a spin-off of Ultraman.
Yeah, it was made by Tsuburaya Productions, who made Ultraman. I'm just going to see what their, newest thing
no,
is.
No, it went away.
Oh, there's a corporate buyout in 2007. Never mind. All right, B&P. Let's see. Who's doing Ultraman now?
I don't know, but they are doing some buck wild things.
Ultra series. All right. Trying to not.
I did not know that was an anime.
Okay, so the newest Ultraman is called Ultraman R/B, but the one before that is called Ultraman Orb: The Chronicle.
That sounds fantastic.
It looks like Ultraman. Like, I'm just looking at the thing. It just straight up looks like Ultraman. But, I think we just take that and just, take whatever one looks the most cybery and just straight up do it again. But, and I think it should also be on the Disney Channel, because Hasbro doesn't own this one. It should be, a Girl Meets World style.
Oh, do we get Matthew Lawrence back for this thing?
Yes, as the dad. Jeez. What are the Lawrence brothers doing right now? I'll tell you.
That
nothing.
Money that they got from Boy Meets World.
That brotherly love money.
Weirdly, we talked about how the Lawrences stopped aging, but guys, Matthew Lawrence aged.
Wait, Matthew Lawrence is the one who was in this one.
Yeah, he showed up in Girl Meets World and he had aged a tiny bit.
Matthew Lawrence, 2018. All right, let's see what we're doing here. Images. Yes, please. He looks fine. He looks like a dad.
Yeah. So he'd be good for a dad. Let's get him in for a dad.
Yeah.
Do we, is this just just a reboot of this thing? Like, same thing again. So the new kid is Sam.
Yeah. Same exact setup, same exact premise, same exact everything. We might even be able to do all the same episodes as long as they're not terrible.
Can we remove some of the worst puns?
Well, yes. I'm always in favor of removing puns.
Like, I just hate their yellings to get their powers. Like, let's samurai-ize guys and let's kick some gigabutt.
That's horrible.
I want all of that thrown in the garbage. I'm not opposed to a bad pun, but that's not even... That's nothing.
I feel
nothing.
Like there's just, a better version of those things that we could create for this. But other than that, everything should stay pretty similar, just, modern... And, with, real teen technology, because teens and technology are, so integrated now that,
This should be an app, right?
Yeah, instead of that enormous wristwatch thing that Sam had, it'll just be, an Apple Watch.
Yeah.
Only you can't stick mini discs into it now.
Right. You have to download files onto it. You have to USB-C plug it into. Yeah. oh man, I can get a new super flyer for 6 gigabucks. What's a gigabuck?
Oh, you
I guess
earn
you
those every time
guys.
You kill a bad guy.
You gotta go kill enough monsters in the game to get gigabucks. Weird that they gamified me saving the world. That's so weird.
I didn't have enough gigabucks to save the world this time, guys. I'm sorry.
Hey, can someone PayPal me $55 so I can buy 8 gigabucks so I can get some ammo for my cool gun?
Oh no. So we started talking about cryptocurrency, and I got super confused.
I don't understand. Do you? Okay, this is going to sound... Uh-oh. This is going to make me sound... I play dumb on podcasts. Like, that's kind of my deals, that I pretend I'm a little dumber than I am. This is a real question I have. When they say Bitcoin mining... Do they have, like, real pickaxes? Are they really mining?
No.
Are they... How, like... Because I saw a video of people Bitcoin mining, and they were in a cave, and I was very confused. And I was like, they're just doing... Is it... I was like, do you power this coin maker by mining? I don't know how it works. Cryptocurrency is so confusing.
It does not make any sort of human sense, and I'm pretty sure the actual literal Christian devil... invented it and run it. So,
all right, I will buy that.
One thing, like, if we do this like in-app purchase kind of deal and just make it like an energy bar refills or something every time he kills a bad guy and gets to unlock things, y'all know that that means that we don't have to do any actual work to make the tie-in app. We literally everything
sells
from the
itself.
Ship.
Hell yeah,
absolutely.
And it drives the incentive for more toys because you got all these cool features that you can add and all the other extra tanks and your friends can come
yeah.
and play.
Oh, yeah. You can scan a code on the inside of every toy and it adds it into your app.
Yeah, there's a QR code so you can just – yeah, absolutely.
Perfect.
Okay, so I don't think we meant to make this a business opportunity, but whoever owns Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad, please get at us.
Again, we've already mentioned very cheap.
So I listen to this podcast called Still Buffering, which is the Smurl sisters.
Yeah.
One of them is she just graduated high school and she's been doing the podcast for like 3 years. So it's like teens today versus teens in the 90s and 2000s. And today on their newest episode, I think it was obviously it was last week's episode from when you hear this. It Riley said something that I cannot fathom.
Okay.
She said that she has never had a discussion with any of her friends about which album of an artist's library is best because she doesn't listen. She just buys the singles. She just buys the hits.
Oh.
Yeah. It like albums don't matter to teens. Like they don't know about B-sides. They don't know about just like the cool stuff that's hidden on albums that aren't on. They don't even listen to radio. Just like what's on YouTube and trending.
That hurts me.
It's wild, right?
Like, I think I just felt my bones turn to dust.
But, like, that's what I mean by, like, teens and technology are so, like, linked that this show could, like, actually be pertinent and good?
This would have like, to be written by, like...
A teen.
I mean, I think we should just hire Riley Smurl to give us all the ideas for it.
That literally just as a consultant, a teen, Riley Smurl, yeah.
If you're trying to appeal to them, you really shouldn't be... old white dudes in your 30s.
Because like you can, well, hey, some of us are in our 20s. Thank you very much.
It'll happen to you.
So, we'll see.
It's coming.
Like you can be like, I think this is what kids are saying. And then by the time that episode airs, they are 9 million light years past it.
Yep.
Like, you know, somebody, I think it was Chris Sims, said like the oldest song in the world right now that you can think about, it's the most dated song on the planet Earth right now is Call Me Maybe. Because that is a 2012 time capsule.
But it's so
it's a banger.
Good.
It's great. But
that was from 2012?
I think so. 2012 or 2011. I think it's 2012.
I can just feel my sideburns turning gray like a comic book. That's the parallax that caught me.
Okay, we need to move on to VR Troopers now before we die anymore.
Okay, so VR Troopers, same thing.
Whoa. We go back in time, and we actually just make it where it's Tommy Oliver does a side job.
Okay, yes, that's the trick, is it can't be like Adam Hawk or like like Crunch Butt Steak or whatever
Steele?
His name was.
Nick Steele? Like, no, Ryan
Nick
Steele.
Nick Steele, yeah.
Alex? Ryan Steele.
Nick Steele was a person I
Ryan
knew in real
Steele.
Life.
Oh, okay.
That doesn't
cool
sound
name.
Real.
Was he a secret agent?
No, he's a drummer in a band. A drummer.
Well, you never know.
He's
if he
a
was.
Drummer in seven bands at the moment.
No, oh,
that's too
dang.
Many bands to be in.
That's a lot. I mean, that is a thing that happens to drummers, though. There's not as many drummers as there are everyone else's, so drummers tend to make the rounds. Here's the thing: if we go back in time and just make it Ryan Steele's Cybertron, then Power Rangers would die on the vine, and I would not have the job that I have now.
Yeah.
So, the half of a job that I have now. So it does need to be a Tommy Oliver side project.
Or is this what he does when he leaves Turbo and can't quit the life?
Well, that was what, 98? So
it was like 4 years after this aired. Yeah.
Yeah, it was way after. But like there's this huge chunk between Green with Evil or not Green with Evil, the Green Candle and when
White
he
Light.
Came back
yeah.
Well, he came back as a Green Ranger for a minute. And then I think they did. No, then they did the Green Candle, and he lost his powers. And he just dipped. He's like, I'm at my uncle's cabin near the lake,
swimming with my bass necklace.
And then, like, then he comes back in White Light, and there's like 30 episodes of material. Maybe it's not that long, but it's a lot. He's gone for a long time,
yeah.
Long enough to do a show about VR Troopers with you know a dog that can talk and Sarah Brown, and what is. I don't remember the Professor Hart.
Yeah, the guy who may or may not have been a computer program.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And like the plot of, oh, main character's dad is stuck as an evil machine still works because we don't know who Tommy's parents are.
That's true. Tommy's parents are the only ones that didn't show up to that parent day.
Because he exists out of time and just always was.
Well,
because he's Tommy, Power Ranger Jesus. We know this.
Well, I mean, there is pretty solid proof that there's just one Tommy. There's just Tom who... So
Tom survived and made
Tom
himself.
Survived, and every once in a while, his memory just, like, wipes out, and he just goes back to being Tommy. And then he finally broke that with Power Rangers, and he saw himself, you know, go back in time, and then he, you know, did it over again. And then that's how he can come back in Dino Thunder... to be because he's older now. He's finally broken the cycle.
Oh, the worst part is he always knows that Rita is coming in his timeline.
Yeah. There's nothing he can do about it.
Oh, that's great.
Nothing you can do.
See, the reason I wanted to make this like a Terp sequel for Tommy is that then we could just have Kat be there.
Yeah.
And Kat makes everything better.
Kat does make everything better. I hate when Kat and Tommy are close to each other. When they are in physical proximity, except for one instance in Zio, they just get worse. I guess it's just Turbo that they're really like Kat is nothing. There was a character assassination of Kat Hillard.
Vicious character assassination, and the amazing person died somewhere. But there's rumors that they're coming back.
That's what I'm hearing for their 25th anniversary.
I mean, as long as they don't make that one Christmas episode canon.
Oh, that's all I wanted to make that one Christmas episode so canon. He had a regular ass communicator. Like, what's that mean? They bring back communicators even though we have cell phones now?
They
that's
really
wild.
Should though. I mean, it's just an Apple Watch with a fancy case, right?
Yeah.
Billy Cranston came back to Earth and made it big.
We can only hope.
It's a Cranston watch.
So VR Troopers is just the Tommy Oliver show at some point, huh?
Yeah, I think it's just either like post Turbo or pre White Ranger
or both,
just or both. It's a time spanning epic about Tommy Oliver.
Well, like the first like prequel season is that 30 episode chunk between Green Candle and White Light.
Yeah,
and then it's just him and the professor that might be a computer program.
Right. And then afterwards you do
bring in his buddies from Turbo.
Yeah.
Cause then you can have Adam Park on this show.
Oh, that's
kicking
dudes
to death. And I'm down with that. Do we need the talking dog? Because I would like very much to not have the terrible, who is he impersonating? What's his face? Jack Nicholson.
Oh yeah. It was
the fucking worst.
It was real bad.
Yeah, we can throw that away. Like, maybe give him a robot dog that doesn't talk.
I don't know if they need a sidekick.
I mean, they could always bring Justin in for an episode if they really need a sidekick.
Hear me out.
I mean, if they're desperate.
What if, okay, instead of Professor What's-His-Face, the mentor guy in the computer screen is just a robot dog that talks to them through screens?
Well, wait. If this is a time-spanning epic, what if it's just Doggy Kruger from SPD?
I'm cool with that, too.
Sure. I'm tangentially familiar with Doggy Kruger.
Because, I mean, Saban Branson now, side episode, Hasbro probably still owns that costume.
Yeah, probably. If it didn't dissolve.
Probably. Yeah.
That foam rubber's not great forever.
Well, actually, here's the thing. That I think that costume, and I might be wrong, but Gregor Ronowitz was the EP of that season, and he's like a... like creature builder slash like production designer and stuff. So if any season is going to have stuff that lasted, it's going to be that one.
That's very good. I think we fixed VR Troopers.
I think so. Good job, us.
So now there's a looming shadow on the horizon.
Okay. Here's the thing about Masked Rider. Masked Rider is the fucking greatest. It rules.
No. Kamen Rider.
Is the best.
Kamen Rider. Yes, sorry.
It's an important distinction.
Mia culpa. Kamen Rider rules school.
I realize that Kamen means mask, and it's just Masked Rider in Japanese, but it's important to be distinct.
It's important to be specific about these kinds of things.
Yes.
So I don't know how Saban... I mean, I know how Saban did it. They did that Saban thing where they made it bad, because they only got one thing right. one and a half things right. Because they did Digimon.
Wanna fuck the Dex?
That might be my favorite like thing about this show. That is that like, car, hey, we made this car so horny.
The car really wanted him inside her. Is all I'm saying.
This is like, get Dex, get inside me right now. It's like, okay, hey, car.
I am uncomfortable, guys. It's not okay.
Dex just
and then
he just has to pull out a water bottle and just spray it occasionally. Spray no, it. Stop it.
And then there's just like angry Jason Narvi the motorcycle.
That part should 100% stay.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so here's the thing is that Kamen Rider is just like a dirt bike superhero, which I can't think of a better combination of words.
Yeah.
Unless it's a skateboard superhero.
Also, well, that was a Skater X.
And it's Rhett.
Yeah.
It is. It's Radical Guardian, Skater X. So I think it should just be like, just take the plot, and if they're not a high school plot, make it a high school. Because like Kamen Rider Forze would be the perfect reboot of this.
I was about to say, we start with Forze, right?
Just take Forze, which would be weird because it's like the 40th anniversary, and it's like it's like this whole big deal, and like Forze is 4-0, like it's like a whole thing. But like, you don't fucking need that. Like, who cares? Just make it weird. it's already in high school. You don't need to do anything else. Just like set it in high school.
Yeah.
Zodiac stuff. It's about teen problems. It's real good. Just start there. He's got a dirt bike. He's got a rocket head. It's amazing.
seems fine. All this seems great.
He makes friends with Orbital Space Station. It's amazing.
Of course he does.
We absolutely have the costume of Furbus burning in the distance in one shot, right?
We have burned it. We have consecrated the ground. We have put whatever ashes remain into a rocket. We've shot it into the moon. Or into the sun.
Yeah, Matt, because here's the thing, is if you put it on TV, even burning, it will Babadook itself back into existence, and we do not need that. So the three of us get the Furbus costume, and quietly in the woods of New Hampshire where no one is, we burn, or in the fucking deep Texas, I'm talking like that one road where you can see 100 miles in either direction, and it's just you. Yeah,
I've been on
right
that road.
There.
That's a bad road to be on.
It's a scary road.
You start to question your entire identity as a person.
It sounds like that scene in Ghost Rider where the devil just pops out of nowhere and spooks you.
It's literally that road. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's spooky. And you're just there like, oh, I can see this whole road, and there's no one else here. And then you see another car, and you're like, oh shit, there's someone else.
They're coming for me.
Oh no.
You start to have a crisis. Yeah, it's bad.
So we burn it out there, and we never speak of it again. We salt the earth. We get a rocket and send its ashes into space, and we remove it from this terrestrial body. No more Furbus ever.
I dig it. it is a shame that we lose the evolution line of Furby to Fergus to Larrigo, which is a great joke we made back then. But
look, I'm willing to just look past it and just assume that Larrigo came from Furby and we don't need to know the horrible War Turtle stage.
We've just put a gremlin in between them. It's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
We'll shade it out. We never caught that. We never saw it on the decks. It's fine. It's just a question mark.
Yeah, no one knows what that is. It's a missing name. Talk.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever
did we fix it all?
Well,
I don't think we talked about that one like nearly enough.
Well, I have some ideas. I was thinking about for VR Troopers, but it might work for Kamen Rider as well, but maybe not as streamliney-ish. So, like, have you guys seen Super Inframan?
I've heard about it.
It's a tokusatsu movie starring.
Is that the guy that gets big who looks like a baby?
I don't think that happens.
No, I'm thinking of something else.
Well,
where did my
Super Inframan was kind of a Kamen Rider-esque character, only they didn't like pull the punches.
He was more of a master, like a Mad Max kind of character, wasn't he?
Kind of. He worked for a.
Oh shit! No, that was the Shaw Brothers. Yeah. Okay, I know Super Inframan. Yes. Okay.
Well, in this, like, it's graphically violent. Like, he can shoot fire, and he at one point he does grow big, and there's a monster he's fighting, and he does the thing that Power Rangers always tries to do, but he does step on the monster and squish him, and then when he lifts up his foot, there's just blood and entrails everywhere, and you're like, oh shit, all right, we're doing this then. I think that it would be a little better served to have, I know it's stupid to say, but like a more adult-centric tokusatsu show where we get to see the things for real. Because, like, Metal Hero shows don't mess around. Like, there's a scene where the red and blue one does the lightning hand, and he just chops a dude in half from shoulder to down his torso.
Oh, yeah.
And it's rad
That's
as hell.
Fantastic.
And, like, I just want to see a little more graphic violence with my tokusatsu stuff. So, and also, I would like a team that has, like, a female-centric cast. Like, for VR Troopers, I think it would be neat to maybe have a girl leader and maybe have more girls on the team than dudes. It would be nice to see and have them just wreck shop on every monster that comes up.
Yeah, you finally get a flowery Kunoichi Gumi centric kind of show.
Heck yeah.
The cool thing about Kamen Rider is that those suits are they're men, but they are just like human body suits. Yeah. Like, they're not like, you know, like you could easily, like, they could take the helmet off and be like, no, there's a girl in here.
When they
hinge in, like,
there's no biological indicator.
Right.
Yeah, no, it's just like I spin a wheel on a belt and then, like, now I use my drive belt or whatever they're called, and, like, now I'm a superhero. Like, that's, you know.
This preposterously large belt buckle that turns me into a superhero. I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
But
the tokusatsu GIF Twitter account has given me so many. Just it's blessings in the form of Kamen Rider Henshins.
Yeah, they're very good. Kamen Rider Forza has four slots on his belt for his little inputs that give him, like, because, like, two of them are for his arms, two for his legs, so he can, like, combine and mix and match weird accessories. It's great.
Nice.
That is pretty rad. But I just kind of want, like, if we're going to reboot Kamen Rider, maybe pepper in a couple other suits as well. And, like, have it be more graphically violent and have some ladies on the team. Have the ladies leading the team.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, I'm in. I'm for it.
I dig that.
Here's the problem. Super Inframan is Chinese. It's not under the Tokusatsu technically banner. It's not owned by anyone who owns that anyway.
Fair enough.
But I mean, still, you can just take that inspiration and apply it to whatever mass riders we can get our hands on.
Yeah. I'm totally fine.
I think in Forza. Forza is the only one I'm super familiar with because I watched about half of it. And then I moved, and I probably said this on like 50 podcasts. Like, I moved from my old apartment to this one, and I was like, I'll finish watching it when I'm all moved. And I haven't yet, and that was 4 years ago. So, but like, there's Kamen Rider Forza, and there's also Kamen Rider Meteor or Meteora, and then there's a girl version of Meteora, and there's also a girl version of Forza in the show at some point. It might be one of the movies because they also do like three movies a year or like two movies a year.
Dang.
Just for fun. Just like, here's a movie that ties into Kamen Rider now. That's not counting any crossover stuff that they do because they also do like whatever Sentai's going on and whatever Kamen Rider's going on usually crosses over.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would be all for a, like, because I don't think like dark and gritty is always better, but I think in like for Kamen Rider, or you know, a there could be a tokusatsu that was like, you know, a little more brutal, a little more like,
yeah, not, for older ruckus. Kids. Like, it's nice, yeah, to have the colors and the power of friendship and stuff, but you can still have that and aim it at older kids.
Yeah, like a Buffy age, yeah, kind of.
And that kind of works better with Kamen Rider, because typically it's not a team, right? Typically it's a dude.
Well, it's usually a dude, and then there are like some satellite people. Again, back to Forze, like the thing I really like is that he does have an entire team of friends, or because Gintaru's goal is to make friends with everyone, literally every single person. This includes, I will remind you, an orbital space station.
So he's Dick Grayson. I take it.
He's literally like Power Rangers Dick Grayson.
That's the best, like, sentence that's ever been uttered on this podcast. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome. So there's like, because he's like the main, the key feature. Like, he's the number one guy. And then there's also like May, who's like the popular smart girl who like helps out. There is the, there's like a witch. There's like a girl who's like kind of a witch. There's a smart kid whose dad invented the Kamen Rider Forze stuff and the space station and the portal that lets him travel to the space station from their like a locker in their shop class or something.
Where else would it have been?
There's another girl who I don't remember her whole deal. She's just like very smart in like a nerdy way. Like the popular girl's like smart popular, and that like she knows a lot because she studies hard, but the other one's like a nerd. And then there's like the jock who runs this like power loader armor from aliens. But like he's a football player, I think, or maybe he's on lacrosse, I don't remember. So he's like burly. So he's the only one who's like strong enough to like use it, because it takes a lot out of you. Cause like the nerdy kid whose dad made this stuff was like, I can run it, my dad made this. And it's like, no, you're a wimp. Like you just can't, I'm sorry. But like the bones for like central character, but a good team around him are in Kamen Rider already, and I think it would really work for like a more adult, you know, because like Buffy's like about Buffy, but everyone's favorite character isn't Buffy except for me. So you know, there's that.
Okay, I can dig that. What else do we need to do with any of these shows?
We already talked about burning Fergus to the ground, so that's, we're good there.
Yeah can't, annihilate can't Fergus from the annals of history. Yeah.
If you want us for a Kamen Rider adaptation reboot, that is a writer on the contract. Sorry, we have to be able to do that.
Yes. Yep. Same. That's absolutely 100% going to be in that writer.
Yeah.
Let's see. That app is very good. The Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad app is very good.
It makes so much sense with the show.
It reminds me, like, I had this idea to reboot Digimon, and it would just be like, what if you had a Tamagotchi on your phone? But then you got sucked in the digital world. Like, that's it, you know. You just start there where it would start normally. But yeah, that would be, like, the perfect tie-in. Like, hey, do you want to be a Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad? Join the squad. Squad up. Whatever kids are saying.
Squad fam or whatever. maybe it could be, like, you're playing the game and you're, like, you're helping him, you know, earn points so he could save the world. That sort of thing.
Oh, man, there's a point in the episode where, like, at the bottom of the screen, it's like, open up your apps. And then, like, you just play during when the episode airs. And then that would be less effective now because everybody watches things, like, on demand or, like,
well, what it is you have, you can see, like, a character doing something off in, like, a background of one shot. And you're like, that's me. That's what I'm doing.
That's me. Or it's like if you hit a combo, like, a thing will happen in the show, but like if you don't hit the combo, it's like, oh, someone else must have got it. Yeah. Like, it's okay. Like, you know,
it's like in Dora the Explorer where you don't necessarily have to yell the answer. She's going to get there.
Yeah.
You can feel involved if you want.
Yeah.
It's on the bridge. It's behind you.
Just look around, you little girl.
It's an interactive television show. It's very informative for younger kids. I'm not going to talk shit about Dora the Explorer.
My nieces love Dora, and she's great.
Swiper just keeps swiping. What else do we need?
I don't know. Is there like a Tinder meme about Swiper? Do you think?
There probably should be.
Yeah, I think we're good. I think we did it.
We did the thing.
Yeah.
See, if these people would have only made these shows with an extra hour of thought put into it and 20 years of hindsight, then, you know, maybe there'd be more than just Power Rangers now.
Yep. True story.
And maybe most of these wouldn't be free on YouTube now.
Yeah. Yeah, and, like, no one is checking. Like, you can buy Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad, but, like, they don't care if you do or not.
Man. Need to hunt down those
I did buy Tenchu Teen Titans Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills, and I will pay top dollar for those rights. That dollar, the top of that dollar is $15, because no one else likes it on the planet Earth but me.
Josh doesn't even like it all that much, seems like.
He likes half of it. There's a good show buried within it, but, like, anytime they do the superhero stuff, it turns stupid. But the teen show is actually pretty good.
All right. Well, let's close this thing up. Sky, where can people find you on the internet?
Usually on the couch in my living room. I do that joke every time, and it's never funny. You could... if you wanted to follow me on the Twitters, I am at Sandwich Surplus. I also do a podcast called Failed Pop Culture. The Twitter
that's
handle. It's Pop Culture Failure, where we watch a thing from our youth and see how it stands up. We were kind of thinking about doing Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad. There's so many words in that title. You didn't have to
it's
do that,
guys. It's a long title.
I know.
That's why it didn't catch
on. There's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and that caught on like wildfire. And I get it, but also it's super clumsy.
Mighty Morphin Power
Those
Rangers,
are all
it feels good.
Monosyllabic words. Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad is too many syllables is the problem.
Especially if you're misspelling cyber.
Yeah.
Maybe just do Beetleborgs, Sky. I think you'll get a lot of mileage out of Beetleborgs.
Josh won't let me do Beetleborgs when we finish Power Rangers, so someone's got to. I know you tried and failed that once.
And it was rough. But, you know, I've sat through worse.
Yeah, you sat through Inhumans. I don't know how you did that.
I don't know. Sheer force of will, I guess. But yeah, we watch terrible shows and then we talk about how terrible they are. You know, a podcast in 2018.
Yeah, y'all are doing Animorphs right now, and I'm going to guest on that sometime. And the episode I get to watch is a trial.
Uh-huh. And it involves time travel.
I'm going to get so mad on your show, Sky.
Can't get any more mad than I do.
Oh, buddy.
I haven't listened to the new one yet, but it sounds like you got pretty mad.
I got pretty yelly. Nobody did the damn thing. Just do the thing that you're supposed to do. Idiots. Dumb kids. You can follow
that's
that.
That's a taste of what you can get on his show.
I swear a whole bunch more. And I talk about BattleBots a lot because BattleBots come up.
It's very good.
BattleBots is so good, y'all. You can follow that show, Failed Pop Culture with no E at the end. I get confused because I couldn't nail that Twitter handle down because somebody else is sitting on it like a jerk. I also do a Pokemon RPG. We record pretty infrequently. There's 3 episodes out, but we are trying to move forward with it. Pokemon Mind Body. I play a kid named Max in our latest episode. Everybody but me got beaten to a pulp, so that was fun.
Nice.
But I think that's everywhere I'm at.
Cool, cool, cool. Jake, where are the 1 million places people can find you online?
I'm on Twitter at JJ_Mason. Let's see if I can just rapid fire these podcasts. Morphin Grid is a Power Rangers recap podcast. Spectre is a James Bond recap podcast. I've already run out of steam. Pokemon World Tour is a town by town. It's a audio let's play of the Pokemon series. Pokemon World Tour is an actual play podcast about us in the world of Pokemon, and it's very cute and fluffy, and we don't do a lot of battles because they're terrible and we hate them. Then there is also Kingdom Smarts, where Shannon Maynard has 30 minutes at a time to explain the extraordinarily complicated everything about Kingdom Hearts to me. And then you can just like listen to me get emotional about boys. It's mostly what the show is right now. Then there's... Oh, woof. What else do I even do? I do Hard Reboot with Matt and Alan, as we said in the beginning, where we take public domain properties and reboot them in fun and interesting ways. There is Cool Kids Table, where we play a bunch of different RPGs, and our big one is Sequinox, which is a magical girl RPG where I play Shel Danielson, who has a perfect Southern accent, an unimpeachably perfect Southern accent, as according to two Emmy Award winners. So, of course, their words mean more than anyone else's.
It's pretty good.
And then also we do a D&D thing called The Fallen Gods, where we are just the worst heroes, but we are also the most effective at playing D&D that there possibly is. I've literally annoyed two spaceships into becoming one spaceship. That's not a joke. That's a thing that I did on this show. Also, we entirely skipped an entire storyline because we killed the bad guy way before she could even be a bad guy. We're the best. We're speedrunning D&D. We're so good at it. Yes, I edit. Okay, so I edit Sailor Moon, which is an episode as a recap of Sailor Moon. And then I also edit Gem Jammer, which is a D&D podcast by the ladies from the Gem Jam. It's very good. It's Kit, Mac, and Annie, and Kit's mom, and they're playing D&D, and it's a Spelljammer show.
They're playing Spelljammer. It's the best thing on earth. Wizards, you cowards, give us Spelljammer back.
It's very funny. And I'm not going to tease the crossover any more than I already have, but like, it's going to happen sooner or later.
It's coming.
And it's going to be Buck Wild and Tuatha and Cacophony in the same place at the same time might destroy the universe. Who knows? Anyway, that's all the places you can find me.
You ought to just record all of that as an audio file and just play it on your phone whenever you do other podcasts.
Two things. The quality would be much less, you notice right away. And then two, I feel like that's cheating.
Yeah, that's
and if
the point.
I don't say them every time, I'll forget them.
You can find us on the internet at fifthdraw.com, follow us on Twitter at fifthdraw, or email us at social@fifthdraw.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Matt Hoadley. If you enjoyed this episode, why not give us a rating and a review, or maybe tell a friend? Getting the word out helps us immensely. Our music is Arcade Montage by Lee Rosevere and can be found at the Free Music Archive. That's all for this week. We hope you'll join us next week for another episode. And hey, thanks for listening.